Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
All right, Micah 6:8. That's our theme for today. Micah is a little book in the Old Testament, one of the prophets. And in that one verse is summed up the whole of the truth, right? The whole of what we need to live a happy and successful life. And just that one verse sums up everything that the prophets were trying to say, and also what the great prophet Jesus Christ was trying to say and demonstrate, because the teachings are exactly the same. And it's a powerful statement, just one verse. And I encourage you to get your Bibles out this week and open it to that particular page and read that this particular verse every day this week. Let it go deep into your consciousness, because it will change us if we take seriously what it says. Now, I'm going to read from a few verses before, because they contrast, in that prophet contrasts one way of looking to the way that he would invite us to look, the deeper way, okay? One is the more outer observance. The other is an inner awareness. And if it is to start anywhere, as the song says, it has to start with us, right? We cannot make it right out there, right? You can't. Otherwise, you're just rearranging the furniture on the Titanic, as they say. You know, it's not going to have an lasting effect, because it's never going to be right. Guess what? Let's start off with that. Life ain't fair. Right? And if we're struggling with that and trying to make it fair all the time before we can be happy, we're never going to be happy, right? Because it's never going to be the way we would like it to be. But that's okay, because it's not what it seems to be. Internally, we could be fully happy when we come to the beautiful recognition that all is well in that interior awareness. And then I begin to view my world differently. It doesn't have to be fair. It's about me bringing compassion to it rather than making it right. Sri Ramana Maharshi once said, trying to make the world right is like covering the earth with leather so that you don't step on thorns, right? And it takes a whole lot of work to cover the whole world with leather. Much better to put on a pair of shoes. Good image, isn't it? Because that's the interior. The interior is taking care of yourself, putting your shoes on. Then you can walk anywhere you want without being harmed. Otherwise, if you're trying to fix it out there, you're endlessly trying to cover the earth with leather. And how many days and weeks do we spend righteously upset with the way of the world? Let's be honest. Isn't that what Facebook is all about? Apart from little bunnies and cats, it's bitching and moaning about the world. Putting the leather out there instead of putting a pair of shoes on and going about our business. So let's get to the scripture. Scripture says this, and this, like I say, I'm starting at 6. What should I do to approach the Lord and bow down before God on high? This is the question we're all asking. And how do I pray? How do I approach God? What am I supposed to do with my life? Should I come before him with entirely burned offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with many torrents of oil? Should I give my oldest child for my crime, the fruit of my body for the sin of my spirit? Okay, I don't think we're going to go home and burn some calves right now, but what would that mean symbolically? You know, do I come before him with burnt offerings, thousands of rams, torrents of oil, giving my child up to make you feel better about me, Lord? What are you doing? Sacrifice? You're trying too hard. You're beating yourself up. What might we be doing? We're not burning calves up, but what are we doing? What? Giving things, right? We could give up everything, can't we? Say, oh, look how good I am, giving it all away. But unless you change your heart about it, it doesn't matter. You know, you still got the stuff in your mind. It's not about it out there. It's about changing your heart, yes. So it's about things. It's about the outer. This is not really changing anything to offer up all these things. my mother, I grew up like this, and I think a lot of us did, where, you know, sacrifice and hard work was the virtue, right? And you couldn't lie about doing nothing. That was like, you'd be guilty. You were going to hell if you weren't. What's the devil's work? Idleness. There we go, idleness. And my mother wore herself to the bone and died young. And I swore, life can be fun and easy. I don't have to make it a terrible sacrifice. It doesn't have to be like that. There's a higher way. That was my belief. But that wasn't the common belief when I was growing up. And maybe you recognize some of those traits too. I was 8 years old when the 60s came. I was 11 when the Beatles came on board. And I remember the early part of my life. It was the 50s in Britain. It was austerity. We had nothing after the Second World War. And I remember it being monochrome, you know, gray. It was all gray. And then the Beatles came. Colors, brightness, Carnaby Streets, fun, swinging. And it was like, we can have fun here. And then we were thinking, well, why were we miserable before? Well, I don't know. It's the way we're supposed to be. Do we have to be like that? No. Yeah! There's another way. Do you remember the Yellow Submarine movie? When the blue meanies came, everything went blue and gray, didn't it, and miserable. And then when we remembered the truth of our being, it was all bright colors, right? Same for us, isn't it? We get that choice. Where's your energy? Where's your focus? On outer observance, on thinking you have to do it a certain way, you know, or on that inner awareness of joy and possibility within. Anything else? What about the children? I'm not going to give my children up. And yet, thousands of young, almost children, young adults are sent out into war zones every day, right? Into danger. And so we are doing it in a sense. We're sacrificing the flower of our youth. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. I'm not trying to say that, you know, I'm a pacifist or anything. But it's amazing what we put up with in the name of this is the way it must be. But maybe we can dream another dream. Maybe it doesn't have to be quite like that. Then the prophet gets the nubbins of it. He says, he has told you, human one, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. So here it comes. It's not about outer, it's inner. To do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God. Now it sounds so simple. But like all things simple, it's profound and not easy to do sometimes, you know. But it's the essence of truth summed up there. To do justice, embrace a faithful love, and walk humbly with your God. First question, what does justice mean? Is that about judgment? Next right thing, okay. Who said yes? Judgment, what do you mean? Is it about judgment, justice? Right.
But judgment is valuing, caring, measuring, evaluating, knowing, understanding, inquiring, questioning,
right.
All of these are modes of judgment. And our judgment is a part of that.
So you're talking about discernment, discerning things clearly, right? What's the character of the nature of things? Don't be fooled by appearances. Discern wisely. Sound judgment, right. Sound judgment. This idea that we are not judging based on limited information. Because how many people here know everything about everything? Let them be first to judge. If we're honest, we don't know a whole lot about much, right? So it's a little bit foolish to judge. In fact, let's skip over to what Jesus had to say about this. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't judge. It's pretty clear. Don't judge so you won't be judged. You'll receive the same judgment you give. Whatever you deal out will be dealt to you. Why do you see the splinter that's in your brother's or sister's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, let me take the splinter out of your eye when there's a log in your eye? You deceive yourself. First, take the log out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's or sister's eyes. And don't give holy things to dogs, and don't throw your pearls in front of pigs. They will stomp on the pearls, then turn around and attack you. So what's it saying? It's saying we are so good at noticing the problems in others, aren't we? We are experts at that. Have you noticed that? And somebody can get it right 99% of the time, but wait a minute, they got 1% wrong. Look where they got it wrong. And you got it wrong. And we know every little thing about that splinter, right? Who, me personally? Is that an attack on me? No. I'm sorry. I know, I'm just kidding. Of course they do. That's what we're talking about. Right? So we're invited by Spirit to do justice, not to judge. There's a difference. To do justice is to discern wisely, right? To balance everything from long understanding, right? To be deeply committed to understanding the higher way. To know that we do everything in degrees of ignorance and therefore suspend judgment. Because if we're quick to judge, we've lost it, right? We put ourselves in a hole because we are suffering from the log. It's like the stone image, you know, that I like to use. If you pick up a pebble on the beach and you put it right between your eyes, what can you see? Not a whole lot. But then if you move it down here and you look at it, you can say, oh, yeah, there's the pebble. If you put it back on the ground, you could see it with an even greater perspective. Well, it's the same with judgment. You know, if we're holding that rock, that pebble of judgment, it's like the log in our eye. We can't see a whole lot of things, and we're righteous about it. But who are we hurting? Ourselves, not anybody else, right? That's the kicker to this, isn't it? We want to free ourselves, so act wisely and justly. Now, how's that going to show up in your life this week, then? Okay. So do the next right thing is yours. So I want to get into love in a minute, because that's the next statement he uses, is love. All right? Yeah. Stick to judgment for a minute and justice. Not rush into love here. Don't take things personally. Yes. Right? So often we see something, we immediately react, don't we? And then we think we can make it right by doing an outer act, an outer event. But that's just, as we say, manipulating effects. Whereas we want to go back to causes. We want to go back to what's really going on here. And very few things need my judgment, actually, if you think about it. I've noticed that. Life is going to go on quite nicely without my judgments. In fact, I can get in the way of a lot of good things if I start to judge. And it's definitely get in my own way. So really, there's less need to judge. There is a need, though, to act justly and wisely and discern carefully, right? Because it opens us up to new information. I want to stay teachable. What about you? It keeps you young, I think, if you're teachable. Open to new information. Always willing to be surprised, yeah? Surprised by joy. Surprised by the wonder. Oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. I love that phrase. Ooh, I hadn't thought of it that way. Isn't that nice? Because it means that I've opened to new information. Whereas where I'm set in my ways, God help me. Because then it only can be that way, right? Yeah. So that's something we could do this week. Why am I reacting to this? Why is this pushing my buttons, right? Good Lord, that's a novel idea, isn't it? Wow, even if what they decide isn't what you like, right? They can do their own thing. Oh, my God. That's nice. I like that idea. And then I can take a load off because I don't have to make it right all the time, you know. That's another thing about this. It's free and easy because it's like I don't have to build. See, if I like some people and dislike others, then I got to keep track of everything. It gets exhausting after a while. You naturally want to like people. You know, when we're children, we love unconditionally, right? We're taught it's a conditioned response not to like somebody. So when you come to that person and you feel good about them, then you remember, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to feel good about them because I dislike them. You know, your initial response is loving, but then we have this overlay. Case in point, I was in a restaurant this week and came in touch with two people I hadn't seen in a long time who had some issues and stuff had gone on. One of them came up to us and hugged us, and we went on, and it was nice. The other one just didn't want to hug. And I thought, well, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to take it personally, but I feel a little bit compassion for you if you're still holding on that you don't want to just hug and pass on in a nice manner. You know, sad, isn't it? Because who's suffering here? We are when we have to hold on to enmity and hold on to that rigidity. So let's move on. Do justice, embrace faithful love. Faithful love. What's that mean? Embrace faithful love. Unconditional. It's easy to be a fair weather friend to stuff, isn't it, when all things are working our way. Faithful implies, and steadfast implies, I'm going to do it through thick and thin, right? Like the marriage vows say, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, no matter what, I'm going to stick at this. There's a sense of what? Perseverance. There's going to be highs and lows, right? It's not always going to be easy here, but I choose steadfast love. See what Jesus said about it as well. He talks about it, and I think I used this in a sermon not too long ago. But guess what? It bears repeating. He says, you've heard that it was said you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you. Oh, yeah. Dang, I have to love those harassers now. Constantly harassing me. So that you will be acting as children of your Father who's in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good. And you know I love that statement because I'm repeating that a lot because I think it's so true. We're all in this together. He sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. And if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors do as much. Ugh, those tax collectors. Nasty. If there are any tax collectors here, I know there are. We love you unconditionally. You are no normal tax collector. And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also must you be complete. And I think that's what faithful, steadfast love is for me. It's like this completeness, right? It's wholeheartedly given. It's not conditional. I don't give it because I expect something back. I give it because that's who I am. I want to be that expansive person. That's the kind of love. It's a generous-hearted love, right? That looks beyond enmity and difficulty and forgives easily, yeah? I'm not saying it does. I'm saying when we practice it, it does. I'm not saying it does always for you and me when we're living this. But when we do live it, it's easy, right? Have you noticed this? When you do practice it, St. Paul said it happens in the twinkling of an eye when this stuff happens. Now, you may take years to get there, but when it happens, and when you do live from that expansiveness, it seems like it was immediate. There was no time to it, right? Have you noticed this? When you fall in love again for the first time, even though you've been in love many times, it feels like the first time. Good old foreigner song there, all right. Why does it feel like the first time? Because this stuff is beyond time and space, beyond anything that's conditional, beyond the outer. It is about an inner recognition. And that's what we're talking about. It becomes easy, it becomes joyous, yeah? I'm gonna move on, okay? All right. Yeah, and by the way, I get 2 weeks off from doing this stuff. Yeah! What's that? You put your weight on it. I like that. You put your weight on it. You're not afraid to put it, put your belief and your strength and your solidity onto something, right? No matter if it seems a little tricky out there, you're willing to do it because you have the faith and the knowing deep inside of yourself to keep going. By the way, I absolutely love preaching. It's one of my favorite things to do in all the world. But when you've been preaching for like 12, 15 weeks in a row, it is nice to think, oh, I get a couple of weeks off to recharge my battery, you know? So that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I love to get up here and do this stuff. So, and I'm looking forward to coming back, believe me. But it's good sometimes just to sail away for a little while, you know? My whole life is a pop song. I'm actually writing a book on that subject. It's called The Spiritual Path in 12 Rock Songs. And the first chapter is done. It's going to be in Unity Magazine in the summer. And I got into a bit of a pickle because when you quote lyrics, you have to get permission. It's like when you sing a song. And the permission is not cheap, you know. So when you've got 12, 13 songs in a book, that's as much as you're going to get paid for the book, probably. So I'm working through that one, but it's still worth doing because I think there's a lot of spirituality in rock music. So look out for that sometime down the pike. All right. Do justice, embrace faithful love, walk humbly with your Lord. Now, we don't like the word humble because we feel like, well, you know, that sounds like I'm mean and lowly, but humble has got a totally different meaning for me. Humble is broken open, right? I am nothing so I can be everything. If I set myself up to be something, then I've limited myself. And I'm something in relation to what? Somebody else's approval or disapproval. Whereas spirit has no approval or disapproval. Spirit has, am I open or not? Right? That's all it's about. So to be humble is to recognize that I'm more than my ego. Yeah, to walk humbly. What else does it conjure up for you? Respect. Okay, in what way? Oh, respect of the feelings of others. So I'm humble in that sense. I don't presume to think I've got all the answers, right? Yes, I like that. Gratitude, a certain gratitude. Humbly open to the miracles of existence. Yes. Right. Right. Because again, you know, and listen to this, because it talks about that. This is again Jesus in chapter 6 of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people to draw attention, right? Because if you do, you'll have no reward from your Father who's in heaven, because where's your emphasis on approval from the outer? And that's what we said earlier. Approval from the outer is not where it's happening. It's all in that inner relation. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, so that they may get praise from people. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get if that's their consciousness around this, right? But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. An inner awareness again. So what does it mean to not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing? Some people didn't ever work that one out. What's he talking about? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Well, if you're giving with your left hand, right, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't say, look at how good that, oh my God, well, it's a beautiful left hand, you know. Isn't that the most gorgeous left hand? Look at all the good it does. Because your right hand's going to feel like chopped liver, folks. What's so special about him? Ain't I good? Point is, all parts of you are good, right? If you limit yourself and you say, and you puff up one little part of you and make it special, then you've done a disservice to every other part of you. And we do this, you know, we lift ourselves up in one area. But if we understand who we truly are and what the universe is, we humble ourselves. We just don't make a big deal out of one or the other. We're all in this together, right? There is no such thing as celebrity in God consciousness, is there? No, there isn't. I'll just go ahead and answer that one. All right, let's finish. We've got to close up. But, you know, like I always like to do, what are you going to take with you? And you won't have to do this for a couple of weeks. Isn't that nice? You'll have time off. They won't. Well, maybe they will. Maybe they will ask you. I don't know. But I'm asking you right now, what are you going to take from those three? Justice, steadfast love, the humble walk. What can you practically take into your week? Just about three things. Focus on the inner life, which is rich, right? Which is amazingly fruitful and wondrous. Yes, very good. That's one. Yes, take a load off, right? The inner life is the spirit within you that is working for you and with you at all times. I don't have to work this. I don't have to make it difficult. I can laugh. I can be joyous. Two, that's great. One more. What? I love that, you know. Stay teachable. This week, learn something new. You know, stay teachable. Have a laugh about things. When all those things, that the thorns of the world come, just laugh about them. You know that you've got a good pair of shoes, spiritual shoes, to walk through this world successfully in love. Amen. So as we listen to these beautiful notes, we recognize that they arise out of the silence and return to the silence. The same with all expression, all words, all ways we connect. It comes from the silence. From that deep inner core of wisdom and love and humble openness. It's the great trinity in action of light and love and life. Justice, steadfast love, openness. To life. So remember that great truth that I am more faithfully connected to the heart of me when I remember that surrounding all activity, all thought, all endeavor is that beautiful silence of spirit. That stillness, that silence, is God's perfect gift. And so it is. So the ushers are coming down. We're going to share up our tithes, gifts, and offerings. Our new tithes for March go to various entities you'll see on the bulletin, including Cuisine.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.